Podcast, and I'm your host, Riley. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's been busy for all of us. It's been crazy on the website. There's so much news coming out every single day. It's really getting difficult for me. Of course, a while ago, not too long ago, it was difficult doing the podcast because it was we were trying to figure out, okay, what can we discuss? Maybe go into some forum topics and talk about some stuff there as fillers, maybe for every 2 weeks. But now we could easily do a podcast every single day, assuming we had the time to get everyone together. So it's been pretty crazy. And of course, as of now, the new trailer has been released. And apparently it's going to come out with Iron Man in theaters, and you can get it on HD from IGN's website. One of the forum people mentioned that IGN has it for download, and you can get it in HD there. Today, however, I'm just going to be talking about the official illustrated movie companion to Prince Caspian. I just got it as a gift. I used one of my gift cards at the bookstore we have here, Signs of Life, and I am loving it. So I'm just going to give a really brief review here of what the book contains. Not going to have spoilers on basically plot and things like that. So if that's your big concern, maybe some minimal spoilers. I will say this, I will not have anything that is not in the trailers. So if you're staying away from the trailers, then you might want to stay away from this podcast. But I'm going to be pretty free here, pretty restrictive anyway as to big spoilers. But I'll be talking about what's generally known and things like that we see in the trailers. So that'd be your guiding line right there. Also, I just thought I'd mention the music you heard is from the website for the Prince Caspian video game. We don't know if that's going to be the music in the film, but it certainly does sound similar to Harry Gregson-Williams' music, and I thought it would be a nice change up from what we've always had. And in anticipation, because it's only just a matter of weeks now until the film comes out. But to the movie companion. First up, I'll just get one of my biggest loves out of the way. The photographs. Absolutely amazing. They're even better than the first one. It has so much, not just from the perspective of the film, in different scenes of the film, but it also has a lot of photographs of the actors in the context of the set. And like there's just wonderful shots of Miraz and... it's also interesting to see some of the shots, like the there's a whole bit with Lucy there where you see several shots, and some of them are obviously from the film, and some of them are just her laughing on set and in the same area in the same location. So it's kind of interesting to see them go from, you know, Lucy Pevensey in Narnia to Georgie Henley on a set within the same set of photos. But first of all, there's a foreword by Andrew Adamson, and it's a really well done foreword. It just talks about what it's like for him coming back to Narnia and this journey of his, because I really have to admire the work these people go through. This has been a long road for all of them, and Andrew Adamson's been doing this for about, for several years now, since 2003, and he's... And he's still going to stay on as in a role of producer or something like that. So it's interesting to get his look into it. We also get a word from Douglas Gresham and Mark Johnson, and they talk about their expectations for the second film and their enthusiasm for it. But the book pretty quickly gets into the whole issue of the story and when the Prince Caspian story started out of in terms of when it was going to be being brought to film. And also how they went about the script process. And that's something that fascinates me because I work on different scripts and things. And they talk about what things that they thought worked really well they could bring over, what things that they thought couldn't work quite so well. There's also a whole section on storyboards and comparison to storyboards. And it actually makes me wonder if I'm not saying anyone should do it, and I hate to say this because I might jinx it, but a Prince Caspian graphic novel would be really interesting. I really have to say it could be. Well, I won't say that, but it would be really interesting. And of course, they show scans from the previs, and it gives us little bits into what's going to happen there. And they point out the editing and how they edit the whole film together. But then there's a whole section on locations, and it's really amazing. You get to see a lot of, again, great photographs. It's not a lot of stuff we don't really know before, if we've been keeping up with the news, but still, it's really amazing to see. Wow, I'm looking at the photographs right now. But it just talks about their experiences in each location, and it reminds you again how varied all their locations were. They went all over the place. They were in New Zealand, and of course, then they went up to Prague, and they talk about the work that went into it. One of the things that's difficult with this book, it's interesting because whenever I get a book like this, I'm so excited about reading it, and it's not a narrative, so you can't just go in order. You can skip all around, and so you're skipping all around, and you're trying to take it all in as fast as you can. And so I still haven't read all of it. I've maybe read a third of it and skimmed over another third and looked at the last third. But there really is a lot to take in here. And you can, I will say that for the price, here was about $20. It's quite a deal. I am so happy that I got it, even though it was a gift. Thank you. But anyway, it continues to go on with the cast. It talks about what it was like for the cast members to go back. And I read the section on William Moseley because, well, Peter's my favorite character. And it really is interesting to see how he talks about the role and what he had to do in this film. And also the changes as a character that he went through in real life and also as a character and coming back to the film. And it goes into actually a fairly large amount of detail into the kind of stunt work he did and the horse stunt of the Legolas move we see in the trailer. There's also a whole, and then it moves on basically to, from what we had in the last Official Companion, it had the four Pevensies. Now there's a whole section basically called the new heroes and villains. It's called the new cast, heroes and villains. And it has a bit on each of the major characters. You have Caspian, of course, and talks about Ben Barnes as being cast in the process there. There's also a whole section on Sergio Castellito, as you might guess. And I spent a lot of time in this section since I just saw him in the movie Bella Mater, which is a German film, and he is excellent in that film. Apparently the movie No Reservations that came out in the U.S. with Catherine Zeta-Jones was a remake of this film, which came out a few years earlier. And it's really an enjoyable film. I recommend it. But he's excellent in there, and he steals every single scene. And I don't know what he'll be like as a villain, because he's not a villain in Bella Mater. But he is definitely a very good actor, and I look forward to him. Maybe not. Of course, I'm looking forward to Reepy Cheep and Trumpkin, but I was never really looking forward to seeing Miraz portrayed before a lot of this stuff about the movie came out. But now that I see how they're doing Miraz, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Sergio Castellito brings him about. And, of course, it goes on to Trumpkin, the whole wonderful section there, and Warwick Davis. And it talks about, of course, all the films he's been in. Star Wars, Episode 1, Episode 6, Leprechaun. He was also, of course, mentions how he was in the previous Narnia films, Prince Caspian and the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and how he played Reepy Cheep. And, of course, went on to Willow. But it's interesting because, of course, this includes little stories that are funny to listen about the cast. And it has a little bit about each of the supporting characters. Vincent Grass as Dr. Cornelius, Cornell S. John as Glenn Storm. And there's some, I will say, there's an interesting photo of Queen Pruna Prismia that jumped out to me as a possible plot spoiler. So beware if you read through this. But you know, like here, right here, there's a wonderful photo of Shane Rangi in half of his one of his costumes, where he's all in the costume and just his head is unmasked, and he's listening to an iPod with Skanda Keens. And just seeing stuff like this is really great. I love the whole section. There's a section with Roger Ford, the production designer, and he talks about the sets. And it's really interesting to see how he, of course, the work they had to go to, like in the Caraparava location, what it was like working in a natural environment where there were a lot of restrictions and keeping it clean and tidy. And also the work they went to where you might normally do an outdoor location, but they decided to do an indoor location. And there's a whole section actually about one of the fight scenes that you see in the... okay, it's not really a secret if you've seen the trailers, the castle raid sequence. But there's a whole, it goes into a lot of detail in how they set up that entire scene, and I'm really looking forward to it now. But apparently they built the entire castle set basically around that scene. And in terms of the design and the courtyard, and they used actually a real castle in their inspiration for the courtyard design. And they go into, there's a lot of photos on how they built Aslan's How, and there's a quite a bit of, there's a whole little section on the fight between Peter and Miraz. And then of course they go on to the miniatures, and you see how they built the different miniatures there and the sets. And you have Howard Berger, and talks about how he made and designed different costumes there. There's a whole section with Issey Musunden and the costumes. It shows concept art for the different costumes and designs. Goes into, they talk about when they were designing the Telmarine armor. And there's a whole section with Richard Taylor. Again, as a weapon lover, I loved this part. Harry Gregson-Williams also has a section to this, and it talks about how he plans to bring different dimensions to the world, and basically how he strategizes his themes compared to, say, Shrek or maybe some of the other films he's done. And, you know, I may sound like I'm being redundant here. I just want to wrap this up in talking about just how much I loved almost every single bit of this book. I guess basically just to sum all of it up and give you, I suppose, a conclusion to this, I may sound like I'm being redundant because I go on about how much I love pretty much everything in this book, but it's really just to give you my final thoughts. I think the strongest points in the book, it has a great selection of photos. I've said it again, I'll say it once more. It's terrific. I love the pictures of regular people like Tim Cuttington, who is one of the production managers. It's just a neat photo of him there. Photos of Andrew Adamson just talking to the kids on the set. Photos of them filming in the middle of different shots. Really one of the best photo compilations that I've ever seen. The only thing that I can really, if I were to try to, boy, it's tough to kind of nitpick at anything. They did a good job representing everyone's point of view, from the set designers to the costume designers to the actors. Ernie Malek did a good job with that. I suppose the only thing, if I were to pick out something to nitpick at, is that there's, if you've been keeping up with the reading of the news over the last several months, there's not really there's going to be a lot that you already know. A lot of the stuff about the Barrandov Studio is in here. And you're going to know little bits if you've been reading interviews with Gregson-Williams about the score. But, you know, it's really nice because sometimes we get all this news in little segments over a period of months that it's kind of hard to put it all together sometimes. And when you get one of these books, a lot of this, even though it might be information from interviews and set reports and things like that, And it does have more. I don't want to make it sound like that's all this has. But despite that, it really is a nice to have it all in your hands at one time. And you can go look through any bit of it without having to browse through news archives on NarniaWeb. And I give this 2 thumbs up. I am so happy I have it. I'm going to keep reading it for a while, as long as I have time apart from my exams and the other books I'm reading for English class. Boy, there's some great photos of Peter fighting here. This is going to be an exciting, exciting book. And so, again, the Prince Caspian Official Movie Companion, 2 thumbs up. And I am going to wrap this episode up. I hope this was helpful. I'll probably do a little more. Hopefully we'll have some panel discussion here soon. Big day, some of the people pointed out, May 13th for merchandise. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Blu-ray disc is coming out, and the Prince Caspian video game, and the Prince Caspian soundtrack, all coming out on May 13th. I don't have a Blu-ray player, but Glumpuddle has one, and he was telling me about it. So, well, he has a PS3 player, so he'll probably be doing a review of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Blu-ray disc, and possibly the Prince Caspian DVD video game. But I will definitely be doing getting the soundtrack as soon as I can. I love Harry Gregson-Williams' work. And speaking of Harry Gregson-Williams, I am going to leave you all now listening to what we think is Harry Gregson-Williams' score for Prince Caspian. If you ever want to email me again, email me at rillian@narniaweb.com. And, of course, check out the forums and the website every day for news and discussion. And until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for listening.